Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
What is founder syndrome and how can it be avoided? If you have a project with several tasks, should you only schedule the next task on your calendar? Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin Cruz. Welcome to the LeadX Show, the smartest way to start your day. Today is the weekly wrap-up show where we broadcast live via video on Facebook. We take our time, we get to rant about all sorts of stuff, and we answer your questions. And of course, today's the day I'm joined by LeadX editor Tara Millett. Hello, Tara.
Hello, Kevin. Good to be here again.
Everybody just knows that you're going to be joining now, but you never know.
I know. That could be a surprise for someone.
It could be a surprise. I think we're both surprised for many people, but hopefully people are discovering the show all the time.
Too true.
So what's going on? How's your week?
Pretty good. I've been talking a lot about health lately at the top of the show, and I've been feeling a lot better these days because we discussed how my boyfriend and I kind of eliminated certain healthy but not so healthy foods, and now he has discovered YouTube yoga videos.
Oh.
And so now it's every morning he's pushing me out of bed and we're doing yoga for at least 10 minutes. And
you guys are going hardcore health, huh?
Yeah. And I had to, because, you know, he, just like me, and I think a lot of people, I get excited about implementing change and then I go way too far. And then it's, you know, I stop after a week. And I really want this to last. You know, I want to build a habit. So I've been kind of encouraging him to take it slower and a little more incremental because I'm worried that he'll just, you know, do all these classes and then burn out and then we'll never want to do yoga again. So I'm trying to pull back and he's trying to push me forward. So it's been a really interesting dynamic.
Yeah. Yeah. A friend, in fact, he was an early guest on the show, Dr. Paul Marciano. Mm-hmm. Every New Year's I always run his advice about sticking with resolutions. And that's like one of his fundamental things is like, start small, like make the habit, like even if it's a minute or 5 minutes or 10 minutes, and then you can expand. And that was one of his own tricks was like, you know, even if he doesn't want to go work out for an hour in the gym, he kind of has a promise to himself that he'll at least walk inside the gym. And then if he still doesn't feel like working out, he'll walk out and leave. And he said he actually did do that once. But by the time he gets there, you know, he'll put some time in. And I think I'm very guilty of like, I'm going to do an hour a day starting tomorrow. And then that lasts for like 3 days and then I just don't do it. So I think you got the right approach.
Well, that's why I was like, you know, there's this woman, Yoga with Adrienne, and she has something like 2.8 million subscribers on YouTube.
Wow.
Wildly successful. And she's got a great vibe, but she also has really short, like 5-7 minute videos. So Ryan's been wanting to do like 20 minute ones right off. He's never done yoga before, by the way.
Yeah.
So I have to make sure that he's not injuring himself.
I hadn't done yoga at all. And then it was about, I can't remember how many years ago, 3-4 years ago, I started doing yoga. And what shocked me, I mean, it just shows how naive I was. Like I thought, like when you watch other people doing yoga, it's like a lot of stretching and standing there with your arms out and stuff. It's like, okay, I was sweating. I mean, I was trembling. Like this was like a full 1 hour thing. I mean, I was just so out of shape and weak. And it's not just standing there or stretching. I mean, there is stretching, but it was very different than what I thought it would be. I mean, it was a workout. And I ended up stopping the full yoga, but one of the only consistent things I do every day is about 5 or 10 minutes of yoga. And it's more like the stretching stuff because, you know, older guy now, like I got aches and pains and get, you know, my hamstrings get tight, you know, waking up out of bed. And I definitely feel the difference. Like by noon, if I didn't do my 5 or 10 minutes of yoga, I feel it. And of course it doesn't help when we're sitting like desk jockeys all day, right? So even when I'm skipping my workouts though, like that's just part of what I do, like waking up and before I get into the shower is like, I swear by it, you know, 5 or 10 minutes of yoga.
That's all you really need. And it helps so much. And cause Ryan went to go, he had like a kind of regular physical and he told the doctor, you know, I'm having some lower back pain and he's had it for a while.
Yeah.
He used to be a runner, a cross country runner. So, you know, he's got some kind of knee joint issues and lower back pain. And she told him, well, lower back hurts because your core isn't strong enough. So she recommended yoga. And the other day he was like, my back hurts, but not in the same place. So that's great. And I was like, that's improvement, my friend.
That's progress, right? That's progress. Yeah,
it's a little further up. So I was like, maybe your core is getting stronger and it's just moving the pain upwards. And that way you'll eventually just shift it out forever. But so slow going, but we're keeping up so far. So we'll see. Next week I might be talking about how we just gave it all up, but but it is absolutely super beneficial. I definitely recommend just these quick 5-minute videos just to get you kind of warmed up for the day.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. And Tara, we have Dan Beal from Colorado joined us live via Facebook. And Dan, welcome to the yoga show.
Apparently. Sorry, I didn't mean to make it all about yoga.
No, he's saying great idea. He was listening along. But Dan, welcome. Thanks for joining us. I hope you'll click share and like and hit us with any questions or comments along the way, and we'll try to keep an eye on them. And I think there's a little bit of a delay in Facebook Live, but we will do our best. Tara, I just realized, and this is, you know, just educating the audience, that you were talking about not using headsets when we started, and I forgot to put mine on, but I'm not going to try to switch it over. But let me know if you're getting any kind of weird, you know, feedback or anything.
Okay. So far so good. I think we're doing all right, but who knows, right?
All right. Good. Good. Do you want to dive into our fan mail Friday and Q&A and all that good stuff?
Sure. Let's get started. So we have a nice fan mail today. A little bit of fan mail, but also a little bit of a question. So we'll get into it. This is from Fraser. And he says, hi, Kevin. My brother-in-law is getting married to a fantastic girl who I have been helping with your words of wisdom, 1440 signs and podcast. I told her about your 15 secrets book, and she is strapped for money, paying for her own wedding coming up in the middle of October. Is it possible for me to buy her that book signed by you to her? I personally think it would be much more useful than a toaster.
Well, I actually think a toaster would be much more useful.
I don't even have one. Book.
But that's a really nice note. And and Fraser, thanks for taking anything that you've found helpful for your own life and, you know, paying it forward, sharing it with others, because that's what it's all about. You know, I've got this crazy, big, hairy, audacious goal to, you know, kind of catalyze 100 million leaders, you know, make people realize they've got influence and power and help them to achieve their goals. Like, I want to do that over a decade, but I can't do it myself. It's only by reaching people who are going to reach people who are going to reach people. Mm-hmm. So thanks for that. And Fraser, there's no way to like buy the signed books, but we sent you an email back. Jackie's going to send one out, and we've got the fantastic girl's name from you already. And we will make sure we sign it, attention to her. And we hope they have a great wedding day. That's awesome.
Yeah, middle of October. That's pretty soon, actually. Actually, when this episode airs, it'll be October 13th, Friday the 13th.
Oh, right.
If I'm not mistaken. So hopefully
Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
I bet we're going to have all kinds of technical glitches and all that kind of stuff. Everything's going to go wrong.
Well, so far so good. So, but technically this isn't the 13th yet, so we'll see. But
yeah, that's true.
But that's so great. I'm so glad that people are giving the book as gifts. So that's awesome. Let's see here. All right. So iTunes review of the week. Are we all set?
Yeah.
This one is from Living With Intention, which is a stellar name. I love it.
Yes, it is.
It says, great thought leadership. I am so grateful I stumbled across LeadX. It's like a daily dose of wisdom from thought leaders across a wide variety of leadership topics. I'm learning tips and actionable steps that I can apply immediately to help me be more successful in my professional and personal life. The knowledge I have gained has had a profound impact on the way I view leadership and my ability to influence others in a meaningful way. How great is that? That was so well done.
Yeah, that's awesome. And again, like, that's how we always end. It's like live with intent, lead with intent. So I love that name.
It's so great to hear that back, because, you know, we talk about stuff like that in the meetings about wanting to send that message. And it's cool that people are receiving it kind of so clearly. So Living With Intention, if you're out there listening, please reach out to us at info@leadx.org. We'd love to send you a thank you in the form of a cool LeadX t-shirt and or a mug. So reach out to us. And for everyone else out there, please subscribe on iTunes and leave a quick review. It doesn't have to be that long, although I love the long ones, but feel free to just leave a quick note about what you like about the show and let us know, and we'll possibly read it and possibly send you some swag.
And, you know, Tara, I don't even have a good reason for this, but like, we're not yet at 300 reviews. We're like, I don't know, as of today, 230, 250, yeah. I don't know. Mm-hmm. We've got to get to 300 reviews. At this point, it's just my ego. So please, if just for my ego, go leave a one-sentence review, click some stars. It only takes a minute. I got to get to 300 reviews.
You don't want to see Kevin insecure people. You're going to want to follow that lead.
That's exactly right.
So any ideas on what's coming up next with webinars?
Yeah, it's another great time to remind people to go to leadx.org just to check out the events tab, see what's coming up. On the day that this episode airs, our free webinar is from Jeff Sanders. I mean, one of the best productivity people out there.
Yeah.
Attention high achievers, dominate your day before breakfast and reach extraordinary productivity. So you just need to go to our website, sign up for that webinar. People think that I'm exaggerating when I say like there's limited seats. No, there really are. And I took screen grabs, a few webinars. It's like it filled up. So you got to sign up to then get the notification, and then don't wait, like get on it live, and then you can interact with Jeff.
You can also, if you subscribe to the daily newsletter, we send out the live webinars that are coming up the soonest. And you can always RSVP on there too, if you're ever unsure. All right. I think we're ready for questions.
All right.
All right. First question, productivity. This is from Torsten in Switzerland. I am wondering one thing. If you work on a topic or project, which consists of several tasks, how do you schedule them? Do you just schedule the next action after you decide what to work on next? Or do you keep lists of your topics and projects to stay on track with, for example, a weekly review?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Torsten. And I know Torsten was on the free training I did a week or two ago on extreme productivity. And this was a follow-up question I wasn't able to get to on the live session. And this idea of next action, that language comes from getting things done. A lot of people follow that system. And what Torsten's also referring to is, you know, from the research I've done, I'm anti-to-do list. If you really want to get something done, I recommend you just go ahead and pick a day, a time, and a duration and put it on your calendar. And then you just print out your daily calendar. That's your plan for the day. You just kind of live from that calendar. But what do you do about projects that have a whole bunch of steps in them? So Torsten, the first thing is I will schedule as many steps as I know there are. So if there's a project that's got five steps that I've got to work on and I know what they are and I know roughly how long each one's going to be, I'll go ahead and put them in the calendar. And then I'm comfortable doing that because I'm also comfortable moving things as needed. So if all of a sudden it's a week from now and I see, oh, I'm supposed to spend an hour on step two, but I didn't finish step one yet because I got sidetracked on whatever last week, well, then I'll just slide that away. But it's holding time on my calendar in the future, which means I'm less likely to say yes to things and more likely to say no. So if all of a sudden, you know, someone says, hey, Kevin, you know, can you have a cup of coffee 3 weeks from now? I look on my schedule, it's like, oh, there's not much on my calendar 3 weeks from now. Sure, I'll have a cup of coffee with you. Of course, when that time arrives, we're just as busy then as we are now. It wasn't on our calendar. So the more we can think ahead and put it there, then I would go to week three and be like, oh, wow, I've got all these steps already scheduled. That's kind of a bad week, and I might not say yes to that cup of coffee. Having said that, I do like to keep separate project lists. So And Torsten, without knowing what your projects look like, you know, sort of hard, but like from our world, just as an example, if we want to make a podcast, there are steps. For episode 200, we need to find a guest, schedule the guest, interview the guest, post-produce it, turn the transcript into a couple of articles, notify, you know, promote it, all that kind of stuff. There's like 10 or so steps. And here at LeadX, we literally have that task list for every single episode. Now, in our case, it's a team effort. So any of us, we use a tool called Basecamp. And so any of us can go in and check off the task that was assigned to us. But it would work the same way, even if I was doing it all by myself. So if I know, again, using this just as an example, if I kind of know that in the next few weeks, I need to find a guest, book a guest, and interview the guest, I will reserve time to get those three things done. And maybe I would even take a guess at all 10 of them, but it just depends on how big those time slots are. And that's the other thing, is to realize that like one step on a project, you know, maybe it's 30 hours worth of work. And in that case, what I like to do is I just set a recurring appointment. So if it's really important, I try to do it like before lunch when my brain is the strongest. So I might say it's just one step, but I'm going to put from 11 to 12 work on step one over and over and over again, like for the next 10 days. And that way it's just blocked off. And if I have to move it or cancel it, I'll do it. But at least I've got that booked ahead. And then I do tend to look at those project lists Sunday night, Monday morning, as I'm kind of kicking off the week.
That's great. I was really interested in this question because, and Kevin's not going to like this, but I only just recently started scheduling my stuff. And I know that that's awful. I know that. And feel free to
blame
me.
You're not a bad person, Tara. Very few people
do it. I don't know.
Very few people do it.
But I've started getting into the habit a bit more. And what I've discovered is that you're really quite able to combine being a scheduler, being someone who sets aside the time, and also being flexible and allowing yourself to say, okay, I'm not going to get to this one thing tomorrow, and you can just zip it over to the next thing. I've never printed out my schedule for the day. I've never done anything like that, but it can feel awkward to do that because you just feel like you keep waylaying everything. But I have noticed a definite improvement just from scheduling stuff. Even if I move it, I don't feel bad, and it really does work.
Another convert, one person at a time.
I should have done it so long ago. There I am with my to-do list, and my boss is like, "To-do lists never work," and I'm just like, "Yeah, yeah," and it doesn't. They don't.
Tara, you're gonna crack up. Jackie on our team just commented through Facebook saying you guys talked about it on the book club and said we didn't realize how important putting things in a calendar was. Now you know why I made you do that book club.
Oh, gosh, it's so true. I didn't, you know, I'm learning so much though, and I am a convert now. I totally get it. I don't know what I was thinking before. All right, second question. This one's about engagement, and it's from Andrew. He says, "We are experiencing growing pains. Our most pressing problems that we need to adjust the management culture of our company because as we have more people, we need to have a more formal management style. This is causing friction amongst some of our key people. Not good. It is probably quite normal, though, in respect of founder syndrome. Although we are strongly cash positive, this is not something that money alone can fix. Any input that might be useful to us?"
Yeah, so founder syndrome, I think, you know, I Wikipedia'd it just to make sure I was fully up to speed. And people use that term casually. You know, in general, it's talking about the founders of the company wanting to stick to their old ways, you know, like being wild and creative and energetic and having a big vision is great for getting something off the ground. And often in small businesses, it's great for about 10 to 12 people. But there's a big step then that happens when you go beyond that, because it means you're introducing a layer of management. Now the founder has to manage hopefully 10 or fewer people who then start managing people. And it's a different management style, a different, you know, the company changes. And a lot of times the founders can't grow or adjust with that. And I don't know the specific of this situation, but it can be tough, you know, because if the founder is still there, the boss, the old boss, you know, doesn't have to be the actual founder, but if the old boss is still stuck in her ways, then it's almost a persuasion challenge. You know, you have to convince this person that the benefit in the future is worth the pain of the change now. And that pain could be a blow to my ego, like I'm not as important anymore. People are holding meetings without me. Salespeople are selling things without me. You know, so it could be a blow to my ego. It could be a more rigid communication style, and that's just not my style. I could be the visionary, but not very analytical, and we need to start predicting revenue or budgets. There's a lot of things that can threaten or even just be a bummer to the old leadership. But, you know, if I'm the old leadership, the way to convince me to go along with these changes is to come and say, okay, you know, are you happy with the way things are going or not? Now, if they are, you probably can't do anything to get them to change. If it's like, hey, I'm happy with everything the way it is, why change? If they're the boss, you probably can't do much. But usually, you know, founders, old bosses, they know like the goal is to grow. It's to get bigger. It's to help more people. And so they need to realize, of course, the old saying, you know, what got you here isn't going to be what gets you there. So you just have to explain in sort of a non-threatening way, like, hey, to achieve your goal, boss, of doubling in the next 3 years, then that means we're going to have to, you know, have this many customers, this many employees. And the way we used to communicate walking down the hallways isn't going to work anymore. How about this idea? Or what would it take to get you on board with this idea? So it can take longer to get anybody bought into a new idea or change, but that time you will make up because it will be faster to implement that change. You know, if you just kind of decide to go for it or make the change, or even as the boss, drive it through, you'll spend just as much time trying to get people to go along. So just got to line them up front. But if they're truly the owner or the founder and the company's like not in crisis mode, it's tough to change.
That's really interesting. You know, when we got this question, I looked up founder syndrome too, because I'd never heard of it, you know, but it did kind of bring to mind all these, you know, larger than life figures that we kind of revere, right? Richard Branson, Steve Jobs. And yet with all of these leaders, we also know that there's a flip side, that there's, you know, sometimes they weren't always the best leaders and always the best bosses or communicators or what have you. And so it's something I'd never heard of before, but it's again, that question we kind of really get quite a bit, which is how do I engage upwards? And that's a very difficult leap to make. But if you can state your case, like if you're in a management position and you have a bit more of authority and you say, hey, if you want to reach your goals, I have a great plan to do it and set it up that way, that might be the way to go. But yeah, I found that super fascinating. I kind of went down a rabbit hole with that one.
No, it's all good. It's funny. I hadn't thought about it, but a lot of the questions are about managing up, you know, someone who mm-hmm. in the benefits of, employee engagement or certain workplace culture, but the old school isn't there, and it can be difficult, but, it's worth a try. It's worth a try.
Right. Why not? Are there any Facebook Live questions we might want to
No, we're good. We had a couple people offering to leave some reviews and things on iTunes, which we're so grateful for. Great. And we hope all of you will also click like and share on the Facebook feed. But those reviews are worth gold. Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and let everyone know what we have coming up the next week. And I practiced this name, and so I'm going to try it right now. Peter Vashkovich.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't going to be able to do it, even though I know I pronounced it right when I interviewed him, and then I forgot about it. So you did it well.
I listened to you saying it a few times before coming on, so I think it's Peter Vashkovich.
Before we were recording that episode, so I asked him, I'm like, okay, so I'm told your name is pronounced like this, and I said it. And he says, well, I've heard worse. And then he told me what it was. I'm like, okay, I got it.
Poor guy. All right. So I hope I did you justice, Peter. But he's the CEO of Randolph Engineering, which is a company that makes handcrafted, amazing sunglasses that are worn by everyone in Hollywood. And they're kind of virtually indestructible. They're amazing. And he has this great story about how that whole company started and everything. So that's going to be great. We have Dave Munson, CEO of Saddleback Leather. He started a business out of the back of his truck in like 2003 or something, right? And then now it's, you know, $15 million a year that they get.
Everybody who's listening, you know, to this podcast, you have to tune in to the Dave Munson one. I mean, he is a wild man in a good way. And I mean, we talked to a lot of entrepreneurs and stuff. This guy is a character. So you'll hear he's crazy. It's a lot of fun. You have to listen to the Dave Munson one.
Okay, good. And then we have a Dr. Mary Lemia. Mm-hmm. She's a clinical psychologist, and she discusses her new book on motivation and kind of really getting things done from a really interesting perspective, I guess.
Yeah, took me to school on the topic of procrastination. And I know that's a popular topic.
Ooh. Yeah, from a psychologist too. So she's got the research to back everything up. So that's really great. And that's what we have coming up.
Awesome. Friends, one more reminder. Don't forget to go to leadx.org/subscribe to just click that subscribe button. Leave a real quick rating. Just click some stars there. And you can also ask questions that we will answer on upcoming versions of this show. Go to leadx.org/askkevin. And Tara, I think that's it. I thought we were going to be in and out in 20 minutes. We were a little longer than that, huh?
A little, but I'm still proud that we got right under half an hour. Huh? Right, there good. You go.
That's what I'll do, new goal, under half an hour. Until next week, friends, remember, we are all leaders, whether at home, at work, or with friends. So be sure to lead with intent. How will you lead today?